welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's Monday, the 21st of June, 2012. Hope you are having a great day. Home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, making it very easy for you to hear this program. And we make it even easier for you if you miss the program. You can hear it on any of three websites, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. The show posted to those three websites usually by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We are live right now, Monday through Friday, noon to one. We'll get things rolling on the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. 30 minutes past the hour, Dr. Dale Kunkel will be with us. Dr. Kunkel joins me in studio. He's a UA professor of communication talking about what you will not be hearing and seeing soon when it comes to commercials that are aimed at children. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes. He heads up the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, talking about new findings on the amount of ice on the moon. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. And every Monday on the program, we kick things off with our Monday Political Face-Off, featuring one of our two teams of commentators, each team believing that they are the A team. This week, it's Bruce Ash, the recently elected to another four-year term Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, vice chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at Moe's Gallery. Bruce and Paul, how are you two gentlemen? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. And we are the A team because Bruce's last name starts with A.
Oh, so at least alphabetically, it would have to be. Yeah. Did you have a good weekend, Mr. Ash?
Thank you.
You did? Okay. What do you think we're going to talk about? Well, the big story of the day, the Supreme Court upholding immigration checks by police in Arizona. It was a split decision, the nation's high court ruling that Arizona can require state and local police to check the immigration status of those they have stopped. This was pretty much the marquee provision, Paul Eckerstrom, wasn't it, of SB 1070?
It's the most controversial. The other ones were actually very controversial, that the three provisions that made it illegal, an actual crime, to be here in the country or apply for a job in the country if you're not here legally, made it an actual crime in and of itself. Those were struck down under the preemptory clause of the Constitution, saying that federal law is the only law that you follow in this area, and they haven't done that. But the provision that a police officer, if he stops you for a civil traffic ticket, for example, a speeding ticket, at that point, he can determine if he thinks there's reasonable suspicion that you are here illegally. And the only way he can do that, basically, is if the color of your skin and maybe an accent in your voice. It invites basically racial profiling, makes racial profiling legal at that point. And then he can detain you if you cannot prove you're here legally. And proof could be a driver's license since 1996 that was issued after 96. But if you forgot your driver's license at home, they can take you to the jail and hold you until Border Patrol comes and in a determination of whether you're here legally or not. So citizens or legal residents could be detained in this situation under racial profiling, which I think is wrong. But what the Supreme Court said was, we're not making a real determination on that. We're just saying the preemptory clause does not apply to this, because that's all that was raised in this. They did say we're leaving it open down the road if there's an equal protection argument.
So if someone's arrested and they feel they're unjustly arrested, then they start the whole process.
Well, no, it basically is if there's real evidence that there's racial profiling going on, there may be an equal protection argument down the road in front of the Supreme Court, also a search and seizure. Because this is a seizure of your body in a Fourth Amendment context. So there's still they just basically punted on that issue for future reference. They just said the peremptory clause doesn't apply that provision.
The governor was on the Mike Huckabee show just prior to the Buckmaster show today, Bruce Ash, and she was saying this is hailing this decision as a victory for Arizona.
It probably is. It certainly is a decision for the for law. But I think the most important thing that Governor Brewer discussed with Mike Huckabee was that the president and the former governor of the state of Arizona, in light of the ruling of the Supreme Court against the administration, has withdrawn their 287 participation here with law enforcement officials in the state of Arizona. The U.S. government, led by the president and by the former governor of the state of Arizona, has again spit in the eye of all Arizonans by doing this. We are the only state where this has occurred. This is a blatant action on the part of this administration to intentionally hurt the citizens of the state of Arizona. And it is another black eye on this president and his Department of Justice and his Homeland Security secretary that shows that they have little regard for law or for the citizens of the state of Arizona.
I disagree with
that. Of course you would, Ekstrom.
Look at,
there's no question you would. You have a cottage industry that you're trying to develop
Here's what it boils down to, okay? It boils down to this. If you are a person of color and you are stopped for a civil traffic ticket and you don't have your driver's license or any other type of documentation on you proving that you're a citizen, an officer can take you to jail just for that. And just hold you as long as they want to until you either prove you're a citizen or Border Patrol comes and picks you up and proves that you're a citizen.
I don't think you listened to what happened this morning.
And racial profiling is abhorrent to our Constitution. It's abhorrent to our society. I mean, it's basically saying, you know, if I was stopped on a civil traffic ticket and I left my license at home and I couldn't prove my citizenship, do you really think a police officer is going to say, Mr. Ekstrom, that sounds like a Swedish name, and I want you to prove your citizenship to me, otherwise I'm taking you into custody.
Ekstrom, do you deny that there's a problem with illegal immigration here in this country?
Well, you know what, Bruce?
Just answer the question, yes or no.
It's something that we are actually the numbers are way down.
Do you think that there is a problem? Do you think that there's a problem with illegal immigration in America?
I do, and I think we should have a comprehensive approach to it at the federal level.
We don't have a comprehensive approach. And
yeah, because the Republicans blocked
it. Arizona took the action that they did because the federal government has abrogated their responsibilities to protect the border.
Yeah,
and we not only have problems with illegal immigration, we have enormous problems with drugs being smuggled across the border and human smuggling.
It has nothing to do with
it. It has everything to do with it.
No, it doesn't.
And as a lawyer, you ought to know that.
It doesn't have anything to do with human smuggling or drugs.
And it absolutely does.
Not this law.
And you know it.
Let me tell you something, Bruce.
And you refuse to admit that withdrawing the 287 status is a blatant slap at the state of Arizona.
And would you explain the 287 status quickly? Withdrawing the
A state can request cooperation with federal authorities when it comes to, for example, drug enforcement and other interstate crimes and so on, where local agencies support federal agencies. In this particular case, it has to do with cooperation between the Border Patrol and ICE with local authorities. This was a blatant attempt to spit in the eye of Arizonans when the administration immediately upon this this verdict rendered for the citizens of our country immediately withdrew 287 participation by the feds.
That's because they don't believe in racial profiling.
That's because they don't believe in the law,
they don't
Mr.
believe in racism. I mean, that's what it is. That's what allows law enforcement to do in this situation, and that's what's bad about it.
What about that, Bruce? Is there racial profiling that's involved?
There is profiling that has gone on within law enforcement forever, and I doubt if Mr. Eckerstrom, if there was a person who looked as though they were carrying a vest bomb on them and were walking toward the state capitol. Well, perhaps if all the Democrats were out,
that's
Capitol.
That's not racial profiling.
It's absolutely racial profiling.
No, it looks like he has a bomb vest on. Yeah, you can stop somebody for reasonable suspicion. But that's not because of the color of
his
skin.
It's different because it doesn't suit your needs, Eckerstrom.
No, it's not racial profiling. The factor is that he looks like he has a vest on that might be a bomb. It's not the fact that he's got brown skin.
We're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. When we come back, we will go to the Buckmaster Show live line. One of our callers has a question for Bruce Ash. This is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. In this portion of the Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Family-run organization since 1985. They've got it all. Custom frame mirrors to hanging services and hanging systems, picture framing. They've got some really nice art there as well. Paul Eckerstrom with me and Bruce Ash on the Monday Political Face-Off. Let's go to David now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, my question was for Bruce Ash, and I was wondering if he could be specific in describing what exactly would give a cop reasonable suspicion, or how, what exactly does an illegal immigrant look like to him?
Okay, David, go ahead, Bruce.
I don't know, David. I wouldn't have the information or the technical background to give you an answer to that. I'm not a law enforcement official.
No, I'll tell you what it is. They're brown skinned. They have an accent. That's a reasonable suspicion, and they do it in the federal system right now. And I think it's abhorrent that we do it at all. But that it now gives, if you're stopped for just even a civil traffic ticket, it gives an officer the chance to detain you, arrest you, if you don't have proper documentation.
When was the last time you were stopped by a policeman? And maybe you haven't. You may be a better driver than I am. when was the last time you were stopped and weren't asked for ID and insurance information?
Well, yeah, I don't think ever. Yeah,
we all submit ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's not different.
But if I had forgotten my driver's license at home, Bruce, do you think they're going to say, Mr. Eckerstrom, you have a Swedish name. We think you're here illegally. Now you need to produce something to prove that you're a citizen. Otherwise, we're taking you to jail. I mean, they're not going to do it to me because I'm blonde-haired and blue-eyed, and I look like a Swedish guy that came from Minnesota, you know? But they're going to do it to somebody with a brown skin who has a bit of an accent that came from Mexico. That's going to happen. And it's going to happen to people who are here legally and who are actually citizens. It's going to happen a lot, and that's why it's going to go up to the Supreme Court under equal protection. It's going to get struck down on that provision that wasn't actually a part of this particular challenge, which was just the peremptory clause of the Constitution.
Jonathan on the Buckmaster Show live line wants to run a couple of quick scenarios by Paul Eckerstrom. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Okay, real quick. Scenario number one, police officer is driving by a Home Depot. He sees four young men with ball caps, flannel shirts, and bottles of water who are, as you describe, brown skin, and they see him coming and they run around and hide behind a dumpster. Mm-hmm. Under SB 1070, the police officer would not be allowed to inquire about their immigration status. Scenario number two, cop pulls over a car for a broken taillight. Inside are four Caucasians, including the driver. The driver has trouble understanding the officer, can't produce the license, and the other passengers are talking to each other in Russian. Under scenario number two, the officer would be compelled to inquire about their immigration status. Am I correct?
That's correct. That's the way it would work. Yep.
Anything else, Jonathan? Okay, thank you. Jonathan on the Buckmaster Show live line. I got a couple of other quick calls we'll be going to in a second. So you were asked, I think it was David, was saying about racial profiling. Do you think racial profiling exists, Bruce?
I think profiling exists in law enforcement. It's the very nature of what law enforcement professionals do. They're looking for signs that there could be criminal wrongdoing. The way people act, when you go to Israel on LL Airlines, you're very carefully and thoroughly profiled. We're profiled oftentimes when we're at the airport, and it has nothing to do with your color of your skin, or the way that you speak.
Okay, we'll go now to Dan. Dan on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Dan. You're with Bruce and Paul.
Good morning. My question is for Mr. Eckerstrom.
Yes, Dan.
Mentioning American names, could you please specify what an American name is? I'm unfamiliar with American names.
I didn't say American names. I said, like, my name's Eckerstrom. That's of Swedish descent. That's what I said. We have a lot of different names in this country from different places. Over the years, we've had immigrants. My great-grandfather came over from Sweden. So, you know, my family's an immigrant family, a couple generations. But, the problem I have here is this is open season now on people who are U.S. citizens. The only way they're going to be able to be profiled is through race and or accents. And I think that's abhorrent because, frankly, there's a lot of people who are U.S. citizens and a lot of people who are here legally that fit that description. And I don't think they should be able to seize that person and take them to jail until that person can prove their citizenship over a civil traffic ticket. I think that's wrong.
Paul, what laws do you think it's okay for the federal government to enforce and those that are okay not to enforce? Because the administration has certainly been up to that recently and has been slapped around pretty good as a result of
it. Wait a minute. The Obama administration has had the strongest enforcement on the border than any other executive in our history, and our numbers on the border
because the economy is so bad.
Illegal crossings are way down.
Because the economy is bad.
Yeah, but he's got more boots on the ground on this border than any other president,
including George Bush. And the rules of engagement are less invasive than what they were when he took over
the federal government's enforcing this law. The question is, can any police officer who's not a federal agent be involved in this type of activity? I don't think they should be.
Okay, now next up on the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's go now to Robert. Go ahead, Robert. You're with us.
Paul, when I'm in Europe where I know I'm out of place, I carry ID with me at all times in anticipation of the question. How is it different?
It's different because we've never required that in the United States. We don't like the idea that everybody has to have papers, please. I mean, I don't think that's part of our tradition. It's part of Europe's tradition. We knew it was part of the Nazi tradition and the communist tradition and tyrannical governments over in Europe, but we have never followed that.
Is
so
it fascist,
I think that's the difference.
Is it fascist to ask for a driver's license when you go to the Hilton or when you go get a car at Hertz? Because that's what happens.
Well,
all of us carry identification,
Paul.
That's
private. Those are private industries that require that, and that's different. And the other thing is the state.
Well, you guys don't. You guys don't like voter ID either. So, you know.
The state. The only time the state can really
do
this.
Why you guys have such a problem with ID?
I'm driving the streets. It's a privilege. It's a privilege, not a right to drive the streets. I have to have my driver's license. Yes, but that's different. That's much different than walking around on the streets having to produce papers anytime a police officer asks.
About the ID, you're saying, Bruce Ash, that everybody really should be carrying an ID, and they're always requiring ID just about everywhere.
Well, it's somebody's choice if they want to carry ID, but there are voluminous amounts of agencies and public places and private places where in order to gain admittance, you need to be able to show identification so they know who you are. And I would I would challenge Paul, and Paul works in the public defender's office, and I think he sort of has a certain view of how law enforcement works. I think it is a safe thing to say that whether it's Arizona or Nebraska, law enforcement officers are going to be extra careful. They're not going to be flagrantly abusing this law. They know that they have to get this right. And to say that somebody's going to get pulled over just because of the color of their skin or further questioned because they have an accent. I mean, you know, I was taken by a cab yesterday by a fellow who sounded Russian but was actually from Chechnya, Croatia. You know, you can't, this is a global world. You really can't tell who's from where. Paul, you guys really have a lot of problems with identification, except when it does something to support your cause.
Here's where I've been a prosecutor for 12 years as well. Here's where it gets really sticky, because police officers have other reasons they may want to stop somebody and arrest them.
Like what?
Like they don't like where they're driving on the south side of Tucson and they don't look good. Maybe they have a tattoo. They're dark skin colored. What they can do now?
When
is
was
say,
the last time that
you?
No,
would
that
you listen
you,
to me?
When was the last time
let
you
him,
defended somebody who was pulled over because they had a
Bruce,
tattoo
okay,
of their
let,
driver
let,
on the south
side? He's trying to make a point here, Bruce.
Right.
Let's
what,
hear
what the danger is. Police officers can use this law now and say, okay, I'm going to follow this guy and see if there's any minor traffic violation and concoct some sort of minor traffic violation to pull them over and then harass them about, hey, where's your ID? Where's this? Because I think you may be a legal immigrant. And once that happens, that person maybe not have his ID, they can take him to the jail right away, right there.
And then
if they suspect him of other crimes, then maybe they can find something on him, you know, like maybe cocaine in their pocket or something. And I understand where prosecutors and police officers come from because you need to enforce the law, but that's not the way to do it.
Paul.
That's not the way to do it.
Paul, you know the great lengths here in this state that have been implemented to make sure that law enforcement officials act in a proper way in accordance with the constitutional rights of everyone.
That doesn't mean it still isn't
done. And you make the presumption that if somebody's got a tattoo and they're driving around in a car on the south side, that's going to be
a
probable
possibility. Well, okay,
maybe it was a bad one.
Gotta go, guys. All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. That'll do it for our Monday Political Face-Off. And despite sometimes the way these gentlemen go at it on the air, they will walk out of here, folks, as friends. Yeah. Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash. Stay with us. Buckmaster Show continues.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Today's Supreme Court ruling dealing with Arizona's immigration law is keeping immigration as a high-profile issue in the campaign for the White House. Both President Obama and Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney speaking out today on the Supreme Court's ruling. The High Court is rejecting a plea that it revisit its decision from a couple of years ago on campaign financing. Instead, the justices today struck down a Montana law limiting corporate campaign spending. Florida Governor Rick Scott is declaring a statewide emergency because of Tropical Storm Debbie. The storm has drenched the state, causing flooding in some neighborhoods. Wall Street, the Dow is down about 128 points, while the NASDAQ is off 51, the S&P 20 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for Buckmaster comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Additional support comes from Adobe House Antiques. If you love antiques, and I certainly do, this place is the place that you need to drop in and check it out. Specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art, the owner-operator is Penny. I was by to see her on Saturday, and she said, Bill, just give that phone number a little slower. So here it is, 325-9439. They're located in that beautiful Jostler design building from the 1940s. They're at 2700 North Campbell Avenue. Well, we're going to talk now about ads aimed not only on radio but on TV and that are aimed at children. Walt Disney Corporation, the company, this month announced that they would be the first major media company to ban ads for junk food on its TV channels, radio stations, and websites, hoping to stop kids from eating badly by taking the temptation away. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Dale Kunkel. Dr. Kunkel, professor of communication at the University of Arizona, where he studies children and media issues and examines the effects of TV violence, sexual content, and advertising on young people. Dr. Kunkel is a former Congressional Science Fellow. He has testified nearly two dozen times as an expert witness on children's media topics at numerous congressional hearings. Dale, Dr. Kunkel, good to see you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Is this a game changer, as First Lady Michelle Obama calls it?
Well, I don't think so. The first thing I'd like to mention is to put this development in some context. Childhood obesity is the number one public health threat that the future of America is facing right now. It's almost comparable to the situation with tobacco back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We're looking at a generation of kids who could have a shorter life expectancy than that of their parents, and that's never happened in the history of this country. And it's a tragedy. Obesity means so many things, both
diabetes,
for your physical health,
the
stigma and psychological difficulties that a lot of young people experience. And right now, about one out of three American youth are overweight or obese. And so it's really something that has to get everyone's attention. And what Disney has done here is they've said, we recognize this is a serious problem, and we want to be known, as we have in the past, for being responsible in our treatment of children and youth. And so we're going to set standards for the nutritional quality of food that we'll accept to be advertised at on their stations that are owned by the parent corporation, that can be sold at their entertainment parks and so forth. And so what they're trying to do, I think, as a lot of child advocacy groups have been doing, is they're trying to place pressure on the food marketers to improve the nutritional quality of the foods that they're advertising to kids. Now, here's a classic example. One of the most commonly advertised food products on children's television is cereal. But I almost can't say the word without saying sugared cereal, which I was about to throw into, you know, my explanation. Well, if you're a parent and you serve your child a bowl of cereal in the morning, imagine taking 4 teaspoons of sugar and heaping that on top of the bowl that you're going to feed your child every morning.
Oh, it's that much.
Well, that's how much is in a typical serving of the sugared cereals that are commonly advertised to children today. Now, when you understand how commonplace it is for kids to eat sugared cereal every morning, and when you understand how the kids are, this is all normalized. They see ads for this day in and day out. They see dozens of ads on a daily basis. And so they're asking their parents to buy them. The parents really are not cognizant of the nutritional quality of a lot of these foods. And so then this is what happens, that we've normalized foods that come from manufacturing plants rather than plants that grow in the ground and are healthy for us to eat.
Will this set up other companies with Disney now coming to the forefront? I mean, I don't know what percentage Disney would have of the marketplace we're talking about. Give us a little bit of a overview on that.
Well, the parent corporation is the ABC Television Network and some of the related, it's called Buena Vista Television or Buena Vista Corporation. So they don't have as nearly a large a segment of the child media market as, for example, Nickelodeon and its parent corporation. So I would hope that parents, as they continue to pay more attention to this issue, will ask questions like, well, why isn't Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or other media companies, why aren't they taking steps like this? Why aren't the food marketers taking steps to offer and promote more healthy products to my children? And the issue is so complex. I mean, the food marketers and the media companies often say, well, it's a parent's responsibility. The children don't watch the ads and go down to the supermarket with their credit card and buy these products. And it's true, but the advertisers are not wasting their money. They're spending billions of dollars to influence the children to beg for these products. They even, I don't know if people are aware of this, but the cereal companies even pay a surcharge to the grocery markets to put their products for the kids on the lower levels, the lower shelves.
So the kids will have
easy
access.
So the kids will see them and can grab them more easily in the store.
And put them in the shopping cart even before mom or dad has even figured out what's going on.
Right. So this is a very well-developed economic game that makes billions of dollars, and it's really exploiting America's children. So there are so many factors that contribute to childhood obesity, and I don't want to say this is the only one. But junk food marketing that kids see historically on television, but now today it's even migrating to the internet, so that the cereals all have websites. And McDonald's, I think McDonald's has a total of 18 websites for kids.
Wow.
And they get them to play Adver games, and then they become sort of familiarized with the products. And it's really kind of a brainwashing. So that they become more familiar with the products, they tend to like the products and the characters, they identify with them, they see a lot of the same characters in the children's television programs. And so then that has a rub-off effect where the products then are the child's natural choice when they're at the supermarket with the mom and dad.
So this is a kind of a baby step we're taking, huh?
It is. And, you know, it's a nice step. It's a step in the right direction. But one of the things I've been doing is tracking the advertising environment overall. And the food companies have made all sorts of proclamations that we're only going to advertise healthy foods from now on when we're in a child media environment. But yet they define a healthy product in such a lenient and self-serving fashion that it allows products like Apple Jacks and Reese's Pieces, Puffs, to be considered a healthy product, even though they have 4 spoonfuls of sugar in them per serving, that it's really not accomplishing much. So my data show that at the current rate of reform from the food marketers are offering to address these concerns, that we're still going to have junk food on television until 2037.
Oh, my goodness.
Even though they're asserting that they only advertise healthy foods to kids today.
Dr. Dale Kunkel is with us, a professor of communication at the University of Arizona, and he has been at this for quite a while. I mentioned that you've testified, I think it's about 20 times. Is it something like that?
Oh, I don't count them all up, but it's
but
been
I mean, your battle with
number.
This goes back many years, and you say this newest information would show that there is still a tremendous amount of work to be done in this area.
Yes, absolutely. One of the controversies is whether or not the federal government should in some way limit the advertising of unhealthy food products to children. And when that has been proposed in the last couple of years, the food marketers, their lobbying representatives have really moved aggressively against that. And they've spent, I think, in the tens of millions of dollars fighting that. And they've, frankly, been pretty successful in getting Congress to step back and sort of say, well, we're not going to consider regulating, but we'll do everything we can to try to help parents and advocacy groups pressure the industry. And so that's why I'm so heartened by developments like Disney. I'd love to see Nickelodeon and other companies step up and take similar steps. But, you know, here's another thing that gives me, you know, some pause. I don't know if people read the fine print of this story, but these new policies that Disney implements won't go into effect until 2014.
Oh, is that right?
People are really dragging their feet.
So it's not immediate on this thing at all.
No. And it's disappointing because, as I said, the public health stakes here are quite high.
How about New York taking some of these supersized drinks over 16 ounces out of convenience stores, movie theaters and restaurants? Could that influence behavior?
You know, the way I look at that development is that it has symbolic value. At a real practical applied level, probably modest, if any, value, because anyone who wants 64 ounces can just get two handfuls. But yeah. And that's fine. That's their choice and that's their privilege. But it has symbolic meaning because it's another reminder that our eating habits are not they're not right for our bodies.
Yeah.
They're not – you want to eat healthfully so that you have a full and active life and that you feel energetic and you want your child to be able to experience that. And so we've just got to pay more attention and try to be less influenced by the marketers and the advertisers who are making a boatload of money selling us potato chips and sugared soda.
Dr. Dale Kunkel, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. We'll look forward to our next visit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Coming up now on 12:46 on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Mark Sykes of the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson will be up next. Stay with us.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
On the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of Buckmaster is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. There is so much to do in Silver City. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, you can hike along the Continental Divide Trail, go birding along the Gila River, fish at Lake Roberts, visit the historic community of Pinos Altos, or check out the world-class collection of Mimbres pottery at Western New Mexico University in downtown, historic downtown Silver City. Plenty of great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn. Find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter spacecraft has returned some information indicating ice may make up as much as 22% of the surface material in a crater located on the moon's south pole. The findings are published in the latest edition of the journal Nature. Dr. Mark Sykes is the Buckmaster Show contributor on space exploration. Dr. Sykes is CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, celebrating its 40th year as a nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes chairs NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group, serves on the Planetary Science Subcommittee on NASA's Advisory Council. Dr. Sykes, Mark, good to see you.
Great to be here, Bill.
How come so much water on the moon?
It's amazing. Water everywhere.
Yeah, on the moon, on Mars. I mean, what's going on?
Well, on the moon, there are these craters down at the poles because the moon is not tilted very much. And so it's only about 4 degrees. And so there's these craters down there where the bottoms are in almost constant shadow. And so it's very cold down there. So if water, like a comet, say, impacts the moon and the water molecules bounce around the surface, they can collect in these dark cold areas called traps and accumulate. And so
that was my next question. As you know, when it comes to this area, I like to pride myself on saying to you, there are no dumb questions.
No, none at all.
And my question is, how did the water then get there on mm-hmm. the moon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It bounced like around the surface and ended up there. Yeah. A lot of things impact the moon over the age of the solar system. You know, we see, look at its heavily cratered surface.
Yeah.
And some of those things are water-rich objects, and the water will migrate up to the poles, and some will end up in these dark cold traps. Now how thick that is, if it really is water, it's still an open question. But it was a really interesting result and certainly consistent with water ice.
But it may not be a lot of water.
Well, we know that their measurements indicated that it covered, like you said, about 20% of the crater floor. And perhaps the walls are a little brighter as well, which indicates maybe there's some buried, ice up there. But how thick that is, they're measuring down a millionth of a meter. And so if it's just a thin film, then not very much water. Probably much more than that, but it still would, when we think about water as a resource for people to use, it would be a limited resource.
And when we're talking about vast quantities of water, until now Earth was really the only planet known to have the vast reservoirs of water in its interior, but now there's some really fascinating information coming out in the journal Geology that Mars may have sustained life with extensive water in the interior of the planet.
Mars just continues to get wetter and wetter, it seems. Not only do we see evidence for ice at lower and lower latitudes underneath the surface, but now some new analysis of Martian meteorites, which we pick up here on the Earth, indicate that the interior of Mars, its mantle, has a lot more water in it than had been previously suspected. Something much closer, if not very close to the same amount that we have in our own mantle on Earth, which by comparison would be considered to be water rich.
These scientists that are writing in the journal Geology, so they would actually analyze meteorites then that.
Right,
we
have Mars samples on the Earth right now. We pick them up in places like Antarctica, and where it's the favorite hunting ground for meteorites. And some material gets blasted off the surface of Mars through an impact, and ultimately finds its way to the Earth. And by picking these things up and studying them, it tells us something about the composition of the Martian surface and even the Mars atmosphere. In fact, that's how these things were identified as Mars meteorites, was because there's little pockets of air in some of them that had a composition that is the same as the Mars atmosphere today.
So that's how they were actually that this they could tell this is from Mars.
Yeah. It was a big clue.
You can go to the moon, according to a new story that's out. A new company that is started up on the Isle of Man. Very close and part of the United Kingdom. Britain could become the first country to fly a tourist around the moon.
Only, what is it?
Is there a price tag? Yes.
£1 million or?
Is there a price tag? Yeah, 100 million.
Oh, 100 million pounds.
100 million pounds, and you could take that trip around the moon. But
I have to check my visa limit.
Yeah, there you go. The Russians, though, have been offering kind of the space tourism for a while, haven't they?
Yes. They've been actually flying space tourists up to the International Space Station. And so this is kind of that venture on steroids.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're talking about flying in 2015, which is just a few years away. So it'll be interesting to see if they're actually able to accomplish that. It would be quite remarkable.
And it's interesting. The company said that this is really the way exploration was done in the 17th century. It's like how private British companies led expeditions to the South Pacific, even in the 1600s. And they say that we've just gone from seafaring to spacefaring. So I don't know about that analogy.
Yeah, I don't know either, because they were looking to make money, or they're looking to extend their political dominance and controlling shipping lanes and things like that. So I think that was more than just tourism that was going on there, or existential adventurism.
But I think that, and we've talked about this, about the mining, possible chances to mine an asteroid, and you're actually involved with that. I mean, industry could be really leading the way for this private exploration.
It's exciting that right now there's all these various entrepreneurial efforts underway to try to take advantage of space in one way or another to make money, either from resources or supplying transport from one point to another up to the space station or around the moon or wherever they want, wherever they think they can sell a ticket, whether to the government or to a tourist. And these Virgin Galactic, X-Corp, that will be doing suborbital and ultimately orbital flights. It's a fascinating time to be around to watch this happen.
You were back in Washington recently.
I got back, I don't know, most recently, just a few days ago.
What is the latest thinking now with NASA and budget cutting for space exploration?
Well, we spoke to, I was part of a group that spoke to a large number of delegations in the House and the Senate, and there is a real interest in restoring the planetary budget that was cut by 20% in the president's proposal.
It was like 22%, something
It was, pretty devastating, but there's a lot of support in Congress to restore the funds so that, you know, we don't decide to call it a day or something. So that was all very positive. I mean, no negative interactions back there on the Hill at all.
Planetary Science Institute, for folks who don't know, is based here in Tucson. It's been here for 40 years. We're big supporters here on the Buckmaster Show of what Dr. Sykes and his team does, not only because we like space and space exploration, but I think what doesn't get talked about enough is the economic impact.
That's right. We bring in, more than $8 million a year into the area where we provide high-paying jobs to highly educated people, and so it acts as a magnet. You know, it looks good for the area as well. You know, when other industries look to Tucson as a place to be, they look at companies like us, you know, the university, other places, and say, this is a good place to locate. And so we're glad to be able to help with Tucson's growth.
And to learn more about PSI?
Go to www.psi.edu.
Edu. Okay, Dr. Mark Sykes. I'm getting it right there. I was about to – I wasn't going to say ORG.
Those other letters.
All right. Mark, good to see you. Thanks a lot. We'll look forward to your visit with us in July.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our friends at Culligan Water, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home and business. Folks, I'm very particular about my bottled water, and I got to tell you that this Culligan Water, what is it about it? It's very simple. It tastes better. I highly recommend Culligan Water. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition, as we wish the Arizona Wildcats baseball team very good luck. They may be the first, I think, of only two teams that ever went to the College World Series to go undefeated, let's hope so, and bring home a College World Series baseball championship. That's going to do it for Buckmaster. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.